I want to turn to John's Gospel with you and speak about John. But before I do that, a little break. First of all, thank you for your prayers. My wife is back home. I don't have further news. Thank you for your prayers. Secondly, I want to say I've known Hans Rudi's grandfather. I've known Hans Rudi's father. Actually, his grandfather visited Edith and me when we just got married. He came to the conference in Holland, and then he came to our place with another brother. So I have good memories. The other good memory is Alice translated a Bible course from Dutch into English about the 12 disciples. What about that? A wonderful job. Thank you, Alice. And Brother Eugene typed it in his computer. He edited it. And we have used it many times. And then we translated it to English. It has been used for many people as a blessing, even in Haiti. So just a little commercial break. But that was really nice. Thank the Lord. So if we turn to John 1, John's gospel, it's so wonderful. Every gospel is wonderful. But every gospel is different. But John's gospel, chapter 1, is such an amazing chapter. And I just want to read a few verses in John 1. You remember John 1, we see John the Baptist. He introduced the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, to his own people. And he had a special task. He was called by God to do that. There's only one person who qualified. It's John the Baptist. You read in Luke 1 that the angel appeared to Zacharias in the temple. And he told about this, that Elizabeth and Zacharias would get a baby. She had already passed the age, plus she was always barren. And so there was a great miracle. And from the conception in the womb of Elizabeth, he would be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can read it in Luke 1. So that was a very special servant that God prepared for a special mission. What was his mission? To present the Lord Jesus to the people. That was John's mission. And you know what John said in chapter 1? That he was not worthy. Look up at that. In chapter 1, he said in verse 27, I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoe. So if John would humble himself to undo the latchet of the shoe of the Messiah, even for that he was not worthy. So that shows how great the Lord Jesus was in his eyes. He also said about the Lord Jesus that he was, he said in the King James, it said before, preferred before me. That 27 I referred to. And then in the beginning of verse 27, that he was preferred before me. That means he was before John. So, and that is verse 30. So there's a connection with 27 and 30. And that means that he was existing before John was conceived in his mother's womb. That refers to the greatness of the Lord Jesus as the eternal Son. I just want to see that, to show you that. And then John takes the right place of humility. Humility is something that characterized this great prophet. He was called the greatest prophet. The Lord Jesus called him the greatest born among women. Yet he was very humble. We talked about Paul, Saul of Tarsus, had been very proud. But if there was a man marked by humility, it was Saul of Tarsus. He learned from the Lord Jesus, the true humble one. And so here is John the Baptist, the greatest born among men. He was going to introduce the Messiah to God's people. And so his message is in verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming to him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was his message. That shows the greatness of the person that John was going to introduce. Yes, he would introduce the Messiah to the Jewish people. But here he introduces the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. And what would he do? Who takes away the sin of the world. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he had laid the foundation for this. But the fulfillment of this verse is still future. There will be in the new creation, there will be nothing of sin left in this whole world. Everything will be cleaned out. That is based on the work of the Lamb of God. So you see the greatness of this person and also the greatness of his work. This is the Lamb of God who could do something that nobody else could do. And so I want to say a little bit about what happened after that. When John spoke again the next day, he just said a few words. He said, John was standing there. So John the Baptist, verse 35, he was standing there with two of his disciples who had followers. He had followers. And then he looked upon the Lord Jesus as he walked. He walked by. And John was looking at him. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." So he identified the Lord Jesus so that those two disciples who were following John the Baptist would get a message. What was the impact of that message? They became followers of the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 37. The two disciples. So John had two disciples. A disciple means someone who is being instructed. Someone who is being taught. And who would follow him. John had followers. John had pupils that he taught. And now what happened? They followed Jesus. Hey, that's not right. You should stay with me. Well, our brother just mentioned that. That would be wrong. John was looking for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus. And he was very happy when two of his disciples would follow Jesus. Are we all followers of the Lord Jesus? He is worthy to be followed. He is worthy that we would be attracted to him. If John, the greatest born among men, gives so much honor to the Lord Jesus, how much more honor should we give to him? And so the impact of these words is beautiful. They followed Jesus. That is verse 37. And this, at that very day, John was one of them. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved 5 times. One time, agape, filial love, friendship love. 4 times, agape love. And he's called 5 times the other disciple. So this John became a very special disciple. But you know what? Each one of us, each believer is very special in God's eyes. So we can learn from this special disciple not to compete with him, but to realize the Lord loves me just as much. And so it's wonderful to have this privilege, this relationship with the Lord Jesus, to follow him. Isn't that an amazing privilege? And you know, John never forgot this event in his life. And he kept following. And we'll see that in a few moments in chapter 21. But I just want to say one more thing about this verse 38. The Lord Jesus turned around. It's interesting. You study all the scriptures that speak about the Lord turning around. It's very interesting to study that. But then this question, what seek ye? He challenged them. And what was the answer? They said unto him, Rabbi. It's 7 times in John's gospel that they say Rabbi. Is the first time. Which is being interpreted master or teacher. The Lord is also the great teacher in John's gospel 7 times. And what is the question? Where dwellest thou? So they were interested in his person. They wanted to stay where he was dwelling. In those days when a rabbi would teach pupils, like Saul of Tarsus was it, taught at the feet of Gamaliel, that means he was in his house. So these two disciples were interested to know more about the Lord Jesus. Are we interested to know more about him, to stay with him? Of course, we cannot physically stay with him. He's now in heaven. But the Lord would love to see this attitude in us, that we are so attracted to him, the Lamb of God, who is so wonderful, who did such a great work that never can be repeated. He wants us to be attracted to himself. And he wants to be our teacher, to show us God's thoughts. And then he wants us to be followers. A disciple, we talked about that, is someone who is being taught, instructed, but also who puts that instruction into practice. And that's following. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, it means you are putting into practice what he wants you, what he taught you and what he wants you to do. Are we doing that? And so he invites them, come and see. Here it is in the plural. In the Greek you can see that, but in English you don't see it. There is a verse further down where it says the same words in verse 46. Philip, come and see. He says that to his co-disciple, to Nathanael. There it is singular. But here it is in the plural. So the both disciples are invited to come and see. And why does the Lord invite them? He wants to answer their request. He wants to answer their desires. And so he says, come and see where I am. And what do we see in that verse? They came. So there was movement. They were willing to move. They didn't just stay with John the Baptist. They were willing to follow the Lord Jesus and go to see where he was dwelling.